Hello, everyone. Come on in, grab a seat, grab an earbud, and listen to some Hockey Talkie. I'm your host, Travis, and I got Jesse here beside me. We're going to help you build an awesome fantasy lineup for the week. How's it going, Jesse?
Pretty good. Just got back from dog sitting two giant huskies. I'm full of dog hair, but it was a good time.
It's even transferred to your face a little bit in the form of a beard.
I need to shave. It's bad. That's what unemployment does to you.
All right. If you guys want to get in touch with us, you can hit us up at Fantasy NHL Talk on Facebook and Twitter. We're getting lots of sweet questions. We're answering them as fast as we can.
Yeah, it's definitely spiking in load or whatever the amount we've been getting. So
it's because we're getting into the thick of the year.
Yeah, the panic sets in. So we're getting the questions for sure.
It's exciting. It's fun. And every week there's so much action. We're going to get into it. We got the news. We got lots of injuries going on. We're going to tell you guys about the schedules, the soft and the hard schedules. Mm-hmm. And then we got some players to discuss, followed by our kudos. Before we get into that, I'm going to start off with a question for you. I got my answer for this one.
Okay.
What is the standard time before you think about either dropping a player or trading a player? So if you see a player that's on a slump, maybe 5 games, you think about cutting them. Maybe 10 games, you think about cutting them.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously it depends on the player. I mean, if you have Sidney Crosby last year, he had like a mega slump and then came back and obviously just destroyed the league, but that's depending on the player. If it's like a mid-tier kind of player, maybe 8 games kind of thing, between 5 and 10 is something to take a look at. If their minutes aren't changing, then I just attribute it to like bad luck kind of thing.
That does happen.
Yeah, I mean, it really just depends where I got the player. If it's a player I think is expendable, then I'll drop him after 1 or 2 games. Like, I mean, there's, like, I'm trying to think of an option that I had this year where I just had him for, like, 1 or 2 games and just absolutely did nothing and I got rid of him. I mean, I guess Jenner was one of them. I had him at the beginning of the year. He had, like, 9 minutes, 12 minutes, and I just cut him immediately.
Okay, here's my answer for this.
Yeah, it depends. I don't know.
I think that with the higher-tier players, they have a longer leash.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Mid-tier players, they have a shorter leash. And then, like, the bottom tier, last couple draft spots, I'll toss those guys back and forth on a whim.
Well, I mean, perfect example, player I'm talking about later is Kopitar. Like I said, he's been slumping absolutely forever. But today, he's got 3 assists already, so he's finally waking up. It took him 25 games like it always does. I expect him to be on fire, finish with 72 points. So you just have to know what the players do. I mean, it's tough with players you don't have like a base expectation for. Like newerish players or players that had a breakout year last year. Like, for example, I remember like Foligno 2 years ago had like a super breakout year, and then last year he had like just nothing, right?
Yep.
So it's hard to like, I didn't have him, so I'm not really sure who had him last year. I'd have to find out from our poolies who had him and what they did with the guy, because I know he slumped majorly and disappeared, but he had a massive season before. If it's a star player, you hang on to them forever and you go down with the ship. That's how I play anyway. If I have Ovechkin on my team, I don't care if he finishes with 12 points, I'm probably going to go down the ship with him. So it is what it is kind of thing. But the mid-tier players, yeah, I mean, five to 10 games without a single point is pretty alarming.
Yeah.
Unless you're watching them and they're getting 10 shots a game and it's just some freak occurrence. But in general, it depends who it is. But
You mentioned something there that's a good indicator. The past is always the best predictor of the future.
That's what I use. Yeah, exactly.
So maybe just take a look at the past year, see what they did when they slumped, if they came out of it, if they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what the hardest part is. Like, if you have no previous thing, like I said, or if it was a freak breakout year, then it's really tough to gauge what's going to happen or if these guys can break out of slumps. So, like I said, I drafted Kopitar. I knew he was going to be awful for like the first 20 games, and it looks like he's starting to pick it up, and that's just what you have to get into your brain and just know that this is how these kind of players play, especially old players. I mean, I doubt anyone still has Jerome Iginla, but I mean, he's the same kind of guy. Like, I mean, if you expected him to get any points for you in the first 45 games, I mean, like, this is not going to happen. Like, that's just how that player works. So
he saves his energy for the
push. He really does. Like, I mean, there's just veteran players that take forever to get going, and that's just how it is. So,
all right, let's get into the injuries and the news from the week. The big one is Eichel is back.
Yeah.
He's playing back with Buffalo, and they seem to be flying high. They love him.
Yeah, they couldn't score. All of a sudden, they score 6. O'Reilly's relevant again because Eichel's there. Eichel, literally is amazing. I don't know what else to say. Like, he looked great last year as a rookie, as good as a rookie can look on a terrible team, Buffalo. But I didn't think he was the heart of the team. I thought it was O'Reilly, personally. But it is Jack Eichel. This is his team. Yes. It's done. He is the core guy. The offense revolves around him. This is insane. I've never seen, like, this. I don't know what to say. Like, I'm speechless. I'm not a Buffalo fan at all. I'm not an Eichel. I don't pay enough attention to this guy, but he is legit. I mean, absolute. This could be a top 10 fantasy forward next year. Like, this could be a player that you draft maybe 9th to 10th forward. Like,
he could be. He makes everyone better around him.
He literally, and that's Buffalo, too. Like, it's incredible.
The defensive pairings are switched around. The power play pairings
are switched around. Yeah, Ristolainen is starting to get points again. O'Reilly's getting points. Molson, well, maybe not Molson. What's the other guy I'm thinking about? Okposo.
We had a couple players coming up in the risers that I'll touch on, but we'll keep going with the injuries for now.
Yeah.
Crawford is potentially out. So I looked up, what is it, appendicitis?
Yeah, I looked it up. Well, I mean, yeah, it's appendectomy. If you don't know what that means, it's essentially you get your appendix removed. It's a vestigial organ, not very exciting. They gave him 4 to 6 weeks. I think that's kind of baloney, personally.
No, they didn't give him 4 to 6 weeks. I looked it up.
Oh.
That's what doctors say is the average recovery time is 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay, yeah.
They haven't given him any timetable.
Okay, because I think that's kind of baloney for an athlete. You get an elite surgeon. Pacioretty, for example, he had appendicitis. Sorry, an appendectomy, I think 2 years ago. He missed one game, I think. I think Getzlaff had it last year, same deal, 2 games. If you're kind of a quote-unquote tough guy like most hockey players are, I really doubt you're going to sit out a month and a half from a super minor surgery like an appendectomy, assuming there's no complications.
Do you pick up Darling? Do you go out and get Darling for...
If it's a week-to-week play, for sure. Why not? I don't know how many times Chicago plays this week, but... he's going to be the starting goalie. I really doubt it. And Darling's actually a pretty decent goalie, too. So it's not like a big deal.
Yeah, Darling is actually pretty good. He always puts up good numbers.
Yeah, I mean, he always has great backup backup stats, backup goalie stats. He's always usually some gross number, like 12-1 or something, or 12-2, because he just... The team... It's still Chicago. The team's still disgusting.
So. Yeah, they still got awesome defensive core and forwards and everything like that.
So my advice, if you own Crawford, don't panic and drop this guy like it's going to be some crazy month IR. Unless you get some, I don't know, something coming out of the tweet mine saying he had complications or something, but it's a very minor surgery. It's super unimportant. It's not a muscle tear. It's not anything like that. It's literally just, like, I don't know. 5-year-old kids get it all the time, and they get released out of the hospital the next day kind of thing.
Do they?
Yeah, it's not that... It's not a... Like, unless it was some crazy infected, horrible thing. I mean, my dad had appendicitis, and he had an appendectomy when he was younger, and he was in the hospital, I think, for 2 or 3 days, and that's like a young kid, like 5 to 8 years old, so... But his was actually a really crazy case of appendectomy. Like, he actually had the full-on appendicitis swelling infection.
Oh.
And he was still there for only 2 days. So I'm pretty sure a super conditioned athlete like Crawford would be banging it out, especially with the elite surgeons and stuff they got going. I'm sure they pay a nice doctor to get them out of there.
All right, so keep Crawford there.
Essentially, yeah. Don't, unless anything happens. What I'm trying to say is keep Crawford. Don't cut him. Don't panic that he's out for a month. I would be surprised if he's not back in a week, personally. I think a week is a little generous, but... I'll give him the benefit of a doubt there. If you have a spot for Darling, of course, pick him up. He's going to win the games he plays. Who does he even play? Looking at the schedule here.
Winnipeg, Arizona, Rangers.
Yeah, 2 out of 3 of those games are gifts, in my opinion. Winnipeg's a tougher game, but Arizona should be a gift win. None of them are back-to-back, so that means he's going to be playing all of those games. I think Chicago's backup to the backup was some guy from college or something. I remember reading an article about that a couple days ago.
I don't remember who it was.
They were going to put him in if they scored an empty net goal just to give him the 1 minute of NHL experience. So I really doubt that guy's going to be poaching any starts. So it should be a pretty easy 3-start week, assuming he doesn't come back even before then.
Yeah, if he's out for any amount of time, keep an eye on Darling because they have a jam-packed month. There's a lot of games in December.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. It looks incredible.
Right before the holidays, there's always tons and tons of games.
It looks like 15 games. They have obviously the Christmas break, but it's still a pretty full schedule.
Yeah. All right, let's keep moving on. Goudreau's back tonight.
Yeah, 3 weeks early. That's kind of mind-boggling. I mean, I woke up, checked the score. My friend Adam in our pool, Owens Goudreau, sent me a text saying, "Is this for real?" And I was like, "There's no way." And then he read it, and I was like, "Okay, well, maybe it was, again, awesome surgery." Again, this is the kind of timetables these people give for a broken hand. I mean,
That's crazy.
And it comes back 3 weeks. So, I mean, it depends who it is.
Wolverine ability.
I don't know if they're pumping the stem cells in these people or they got the splints. They got access to some pretty crazy medical stuff. So I think we're going to be barring like muscle tears. A lot of this stuff gets healed pretty fast now. So put him back in your lineup if you got him, obviously. This is going to demote, I think, Versteeg, if I had to guess. I'd have to look at the lines.
Most likely Versteeg.
I'd have to see the winger position. Monahan moves up. This will obviously... Goudreau's a center, right? Or is he? Because if Goudreau's a center, then that means it will demote Backlund, because Backlund had way too many lines.
Yeah, Backlund was on the...
Yeah,
Goudreau's actually left wing.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense. So, Tkachuk was playing top line, so he'll definitely get supplanted down to second line, and then... Maybe Monahan will get moved back up to the top line, or maybe let's keep the lines and run it as is. Maybe Versteeg won't get, because Versteeg's a right wing. I mistake that. So keep an eye on Tkachuk.
We'll touch on that later, too, as well. I got it in the risers and fallers. Let's move on to Mike Smith, Arizona. 60 shots last game.
Yeah, I didn't believe it until you told me, and I looked it up last night. I was totally not watching any games. He got absolutely shelled. Of course, he had to lose, which is just tragic.
Their overtime loss, that's kind of the norm for Arizona goalies.
That's just how deadly Columbus as a team is, though, seriously.
Yeah.
Only two players, I just looked at before this, had no shots on goal. I think Brandon Saad had 9 shots.
Yep.
Like Ovechkin tier style, Brett Burns style.
Yeah, it was crazy. Smith makes that team better all around. Arizona, keep an eye out for that. Patrick Sharp is on the... IR, which is sad, because I was just telling a guy on Facebook that Patrick Sharp is a good guy to pick up because the Stars are so decimated with injuries right now that they're gonna, once everyone starts getting healthy, they're gonna continue rolling like the Stars do.
Yeah,
but then Sharp goes out, undisclosed injury. They didn't say a timetable.
Yeah, I don't know. Sharp's
he's also been trending down a little bit.
He's been ice cold. I think not too exciting of a player. He did mediocre last year, I think, 50-ish points. So this is almost a nail in the fantasy coffin, I think, for this year for him. We'll see how long he's out.
Keep him for a little bit. I don't know. Yeah, depending on how long he's out, but he may be getting close to a cut.
Yeah.
Or trade a package deal, try to pick up someone else with him. We got Abdicator is on IR. That's a huge hit for Detroit.
Oh, my God.
They are not having any luck
Detroit
at all.
Detroit is destroyed. I didn't believe Scott, our resident Detroit fan. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, sure, they got an average one injuries. And then I went to, like, the page. And you, like, scroll. It's, like, 12 players, like, roster players gone. Losing Abdicator is insane. That guy's a grinder. He was playing awesome with Glenn Denning and Nielsen. So, that's tough.
While we're talking about Abdicator here, I'll touch on Mantha. Is replacing him, is moving up to the top line with Zetterberg. Only owned in 4% of Yahoo leagues.
Yeah.
So no one has this guy. He's got 3 goals, 6 points in 10 games since being brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And our buddy was talking about him pretty highly, saying that he is going to be the future. He's a good plug-and-play player.
Yeah.
He's, depending on how long Abdicator is out, that's an awesome pick if you're a Detroit fan. But I'm probably betting that there are other players out there that you could pick to sub in.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine your leagues aren't that deep that you have to go to a sub 5% owned player.
If they are, then Mantha.
But yeah, why not? If you're in that deal, why not Mantha? He was supposed to be an offensive juggernaut talent guy from like years ago. I don't know. I'd be pretty hard pressed to start Mantha in week to week, but. If you need a spot and you're really desperate, the points are there. Like 6 and 10 isn't awful. That's probably average.
Top line. We always talk about the opportunities there.
I mean, he's getting the minutes. He's going to get the power play time, I'm sure. So, yeah, why not pick him up?
All right, keeping on the injuries. I feel so bad just talking about injuries all the time because it's like there's like a giant list every week of players that are out.
I know, and it's just stars after stars. It's crazy.
We got Zibanejad, broken fibula, 4 to 6 weeks.
That's a gross one. That's not when you come back from early. So
he was just starting to pick up some steam.
Yeah, I mean, he's a wicked player. I loved him on Ottawa. I mean, he's a centerman. So, yeah, 4 to 6 weeks. I don't know what you can do with that player. Stash him if you can.
I have a note here just to mention Kevin Hayes is now moving up onto that top line center.
position? I picked up Hayes about 2 months ago when Rangers were on fire, and his minutes have always been like sub 14, and last night he had like 19 minutes, so yeah. I guess he is trying out for the top center now, so that must be what they're going on.
And I'm sure Kevin Hayes is not owned in very many leagues.
Not with his start, or with the Rangers style heating up, so if he's available, yeah, pick him up. But I would agree with you saying this is probably fringe, and there might also be better centermen to start as well. That's the other tough thing. I know a lot of your Yahoo leagues only start two centermen, so I'd have to see what else is there, but he's definitely getting the opportunity, so.
All right, next one on the list is your favorite player, your keeper this year. Tell me about Scheifele.
I don't know. It says undisclosed. He just, they pulled him out of practice before the game yesterday, I think, and surprise thing, and now he's just day-to-day with an undisclosed injury. Please keep him. Don't do anything crazy. It's tragic. He was literally point per game. He's been 13-13 in 26 games. From what it sounds like, it's not too serious. I can't guess, but I mean, imagine he's back soon. So, but till then, there's another guy who came back. What's someone drafted him late in our league? Little, right?
Yeah.
Little's back. There you go.
Little moves right up to that top line to fill the void.
Yeah, so he'll play with Wheeler. I don't think they'll put him with Laney just yet, but I'm sure
he was playing with Laney the last couple games, and Wheeler's actually down on the second line now.
Oh, they put him down there? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go, Little. If you were proactive enough to get him back, Little's one of the most underrated fantasy centers ever. Every year when he's healthy, he gets like 60 points. So, and Winnipeg is a much better team than it was last year, just with the addition of one player. So even if he gets those secondary assists on Laney, he's going to be an absolute monster. I would definitely sub him in if he's available, that's for sure.
Yeah, another guy that just came out today, Eric Johnson, is out in Colorado.
I heard he had a similar thing, a leg bone in. I think it was like same thing, 2 months for him. So
he's going to be out a while. This is good news for Tyson Barrie owners like myself, because that means Barrie moves up into the top defensive pair. He was pushed down a little bit, and we talked about them last week, rotating through all these Colorado defensemen. But now we got, with Johnson going out, you got Barrie going back up to that top line.
Yeah, he's the only other guy with remote offensive talent.
Especially on the right wing.
Yeah.
He's the only other one there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, who else is there? Wirekoch, Boschman, like, these guys can't be
both
top
left
line.
Wings.
Yeah.
Both left wings.
Oh, there
too.
You go. So,
we got Howard is out 14 days.
From today?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
Mrazek owners, Mrazek, I guess, grind him out 2 weeks, see what happens.
We briefly touched on this last week, just saying that Howard was injured.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we know it's a couple weeks, Mrazek, seize the opportunity, my friend.
Yeah,
if you are listening to this, Peter Mrazek, this is your chance to be the number one goalie in Detroit. You can do it.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone's telling him that too. What else can you say? Yeah, exactly. Mrazek has a chance. You have him. He's safe for another 2 weeks, essentially. So
yeah.
Keep it going.
Yeah. Let's move on to the schedules part. There were some very interesting schedules this week. Carolina is doing the California road trip.
Okay, so that's going to be like an 0-5.
Tampa, Anaheim, LA, and San Jose this week.
Yikes.
This is 1 week.
I would say the only winnable game there is Tampa. If I had to pick one, I would say Tampa's the only winnable game just because they've been playing weird. But
you're probably... I would not play any of the players.
But I'm saying there's no starters there. I wouldn't be starting a goalie. I wouldn't start any forwards. Even Skinner, like, would be a tough play for me this week. I think he's almost unplayable with these teams.
They all have
especially
goalies.
Against LA. Yeah. These are 20-shot-a-game teams. Then Carolina is going to get smothered. Yeah, I would not be surprised if they go 0-5.
Also in the same breath as Carolina, you got the Islanders that are already struggling.
Yeah.
They're playing Detroit, St. Louis, Columbus, and then the Rangers. St. Louis, Columbus, and the Rangers all have the most shots on net in the NHL. So you know that whoever is in net, Greiss or Halak, is going to get peppered.
Yeah, I don't like the Islanders anyway. Unless you're playing Tavares.
I think that's the only one you can
see. Yeah, I mean, I got a guy later that might be worthwhile on the Islanders, but unfortunately this is a brutal week for him. So we'll see if he holds up for this week and stays legit, but... there is not any Islanders I'd be starting, unfortunately. Not with those teams. Especially not against Columbus, my goodness.
The Ducks have a really soft schedule. They got San Jose, which is going to be a hard-fought game. But then they got Ottawa, Carolina, and then Calgary.
Okay.
And some of those, three of those games are at home.
Okay.
So a good Anaheim needs to get back on track. Getzlaf, Perry, they need to start chipping in.
Yeah, they need to score goals. They're getting the assists, but man, they need to score a goal. Like, holy moly.
And those are Ottawa, Carolina, Calgary, good teams to do it against.
Yeah, Brandon. Ottawa's a tougherish team, but a beatable team, 100%. Carolina, of course, not very difficult. Calgary, unless they're playing Chad Johnson, apparently. But I think the Ducks should be just fine. Any of those fringe players, like your Raquels, and should yes. be decent.
I would look for them to
secondary picks,
get a bunch of points this week.
Yeah,
there's a couple teams have, one other team has a very easy schedule, but just because of the amount of games they're playing. Minnesota is only playing 2 games this week.
Okay.
So use your Minnesota players sparingly. Maybe it's worth for you to pick up a goalie that's playing 4 games instead of 2. That's up to you, depending on how your league format works. Florida also plays 4 games along with the Islanders and Carolina. So Florida is going to be playing a lot of games as well. And they're against medium-tier players. There's nothing hard, nothing soft.
Okay.
So look for Florida to make some points in there. Minnesota, only 2 games. It's the only team that only has 2 games this week, I believe.
Okay. So, yeah, if you have Dubnyk starting the 2 games, obviously. Beyond that, hopefully most leagues have 3 or 4 goalies drafted, I think, in most of the Yahoo teams I see. So you should hopefully be there. If not, pick up an awful, awful backup and just roll on those extra 2 games and just see what you can chisel out of there. 2 games, that's a really, really quiet week. Wow.
It is, and it seems like everyone else is playing a lot of games, but yeah. I guess not everyone can play a lot of games. Okay, let's move into the players we wanted to discuss. There are a lot of risers due to the amount of injuries that are here.
Yeah,
absolutely. That I was alluding to when we were talking about the news. And there's also a lot of fallers that were thinking about quitting. You want to start off? You got a forward name to start off with?
I'll start off with Jenner.
Jenner.
I drafted Jenner. He was a 30-goal scorer, great player. Tortorella's been using him very interestingly, to say the least. However, he's got 2 goals in the past 2 games, which is signs of life. His minutes aren't as bad as they used to be. There's still that third line 14-ish minutes a game, so nothing's too crazy there. He's taken 6 shots on net. I mean, again, that was the shelling against Arizona, so don't read into that too much. However, he isn't owned too high. We just take a look on that. He's trending up, so he's definitely a riser. Obviously, anyone on Columbus is scoring. If you really need a dual-eligible player, I think he plays center and left wing, if I had to be sure.
I believe so.
Yeah, so he's got the dual-eligibility there, so check out for him. I mean, like I said, Columbus sounds like they're playing some of the weaker teams, like it sounds like Islanders or stuff like that, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's another 6-plus goal game against that team, so definitely Jenner's on the rise. His point total over the career of the year is very disgusting, so don't get too dissuaded by that, but he has been heating up. He's a goal scorer. He has to score 30 goals. He's got 2 and 2. Shots are going in, so I would pump him in. Why not? He's definitely rising for me.
I blame the Tortorella system.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, what else can you do, right?
The same thing when he was in Vancouver, how they didn't want to use the Sedins as much.
Yeah, and they were, like, penalty killing the Sedins.
They wanted to spread it everywhere. That's what Tortorella is doing in Columbus, is spreading it everywhere, but that's a team that can do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's working, for sure. It's just unfortunate you got players that thrive with heavy minutes, like Boone Jenner. Like,
yes.
Last year, he played literally 19 to 20 minutes a game. Like, that was his thing, and he was able to get a lot of looks, a lot of confidence, and he turned out to be one of the best players looking on that team. Yeah. Fortunately, I guess, Columbus is literally on fire. All 4 lines are rolling, so
that's what he does.
I have to, I guess, agree with it. I don't agree with it in a way, but, I mean, the results are the team's like 14-5, so I'm not going to criticize the team's way it is. It's just fantasy criticism. It sucks for guys like Jenner who need the minutes to start clicking. Minutes aren't there just yet, but it looks like he's starting to find his own. It just is taking him longer because he just literally hasn't been able to get enough ice time, seriously, in the past 20 games. So
there are those players, Nash, Kovalchuk, like, they want the big minutes. They want to be the number one.
Yeah, that's the point. I mean, how do you go from a 30-goal scorer from 21 minutes a game to play 12? I mean, that confidence alone, that's ridiculous. But he's heating up. Keep an eye out. He's definitely probably not owned too many leagues, and he's got that dual eligibility. So
there you go. I got Derek Stepan as my first guy.
Yep.
He's owned in about 40% of Yahoo leagues right now, so it's on the lower end.
Mm-hmm.
But he started off December really good, 4 points in 2 contests. He's playing with Zuccarello and Kreider, and Zibanejad isn't there because he's injured. So this is a guy I wanted to bring to everyone's attention to pick up and keep an eye on. I know, I think you've had him in the past.
And I love Derek Stepan.
Super streaky.
He's a streak master. Yeah, exactly, like you said. Yeah, he's a streak master. What else can you say, right? I mean, he's insanely talented. He'll play the power play and stuff like that. But owning him over 82 games is kind of scary. But as a week-to-week play, yeah, it's fantastic, man. Because he gets hot and he totally can rack up points per week. So, of course, if he's playing that top line for Zibanejad, then there's no excuse. I mean, 39%, that's so low. I know he's just a single center position, but I would be plugging him in over most centers for this week. Unless you're like in mega elite center, I can't see why this guy would be started. This team is scoring so many goals.
Yeah, they are. I'll jump into the next. I got like a package deal here.
Sure.
We talked about Buffalo. Right. We talked about Eichel being back. Sam Reinhart, you talked about him before, and you told me to drop him.
Yeah, well, I mean, he should have been dropped. You had him for 20 games. You had, like, 3 points. Like, you can pick him up eventually when he heats up, but...
Now that Eichel's back, everything's starting to fill out in Toronto. Or in Buffalo, sorry. Yeah. That means Evander Kane is playing normal top line, and then that means that Reinhart is playing with Eichel.
Yeah.
And then their power play is all set up normally. They're playing with the guys that they know, and all of a sudden they're scoring in bunches.
I mean, as we said, like, I mean, we said that Eichel... Reinhart played his best hockey with Eichel.
Yep.
Obviously, it didn't take long for them to get reunited, and he's looking great. I don't think he's owned in too many... What is he at?
30%,
yeah. 1 in 3 teams, or leagues, I'm sorry. Yeah, I would pick him up. He's a center and a right wing. Why not? He's so hot, especially if you own Eichel. There's no excuse for you not to have Reinhart for that 1-2 punch.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
Yeah, it's...
And then on the same side as that is the Evander Kane is the left wing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only owned in 20% of Yahoo leagues because everyone dropped him at the beginning because he was out and then
came
underperformed.
Back, did nothing. Yeah, exactly.
Is he someone that you would target?
No, I still don't like Kane. I still think
Come on.
I still,
you over.
I still think Kane is trash. I still think he's getting 30 points this year. Me personally, Reinhart, awesome target. Obviously, Eichel with back. They look sick. They're awesome synergy line. They got just chemistry immediately between those guys, and they are fun to watch. Yeah,
but you don't like Kane?
I don't like Kane, man. I don't know. Whatever. I'm not going to really get into too many justifications of it, but I am not a Kane fan. He's not someone I would pick up or target. He's, again, a streaky player. Hey, if he heats up, keep an eye out for him. Just don't look for him over an 82-game schedule kind of thing. If you have the luxury of playing him and being able to do, like, a pick-and-play kind of thing, hey, it could be worth it, to be honest. But when I think fantasy, I think long-term fantasy, and Kane, to me, is long-term, not a player you want on your team.
Kane would be one of those guys that's either going to win you your weekend
for picking him,
or he's going to be disappointing.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got? What else do you got on your list there?
Let's stick with forwards for now. My favorite player of all time, Marian Gabrick, is back. He's only owned in 11% of leagues.
Where was he?
He was injured.
Oh, okay.
So he was dead. He broke his foot or something in the World Cup, so he actually didn't even get to play anything till 2 games ago. He picked up a couple assists, I think, in his second game back. He will play with Kopitar on that top line. He will get those power play minutes as soon as he's, like, sort of back into the world, because Gabrick is a pure goal scorer. He's not a guy that they're going to be grinding out in the penalty kill. He's going to get those opportunities to snipe them in the power play. If you need a week-to-week pick and you need, like, a goal-scoring heavy league, I think Gabrick's a great pick. Kopitar's starting to heat up. He got 3 assists already today. I haven't checked the stats. It was 4-4 going into overtime. Who knows? Maybe he potted one in overtime. We'll find out later in the pod. I'm a huge Gabrick fan. I think he's just a fantastic player. So, it looks like Montreal won. That's a real bummer in the shootout, unfortunately.
Yeah, in the shootout.
Ugh, the worst. Okay. Gabrick is 11% owned, so he's going to be available in, I'd say, any league you're in. Keep an eye on his matchups for week to week. If they play some soft teams, he could easily snipe some easy goals. But don't look for him to totally carry your week. This is just a player that I would predict for the next... I think Gabrick is going to pick it up. That's basically my prediction. If you need a player, he's super unowned. I love Gabrick as a player, and I think if you need someone, this is someone I would look at to fill up little goal-scoring voids if you need it.
Is Gabrick picked up in our league right now?
I have him.
Do you?
Yeah.
I was going to say, you say the next player and I'll pick him up in our league.
Yeah, I picked him up. I picked him up after his second game because I knew his first game he got 10 minutes. I knew he wasn't getting utilized at all. And then the second game he came back, got a couple assists, and then that's I had him by then. So he, you know, he's doing okay. He's trending up. He'll get those 18 minutes with Kopitar soon.
Yeah, I like Gabrick.
Yeah. Other than that,
do you got any more forwards? I got a bunch.
Yeah, I got a few more forwards to talk about. One of my injury things we talk about is Steen is back. Yes. If you own Steen, awesome. He's a power play specialist. He got 3 points his first game back. I unfortunately still had him on my IR because I didn't realize he came back, so that totally crippled that for me. He still got a goal and a couple points in the next game after, so if Steen is available and people drop him, pick him up as soon as you can. This guy is a number one power play unit, a number one winger. He is an absolute monster of a player when he's healthy, so if he's available in any league right now that got dropped due to the injury, I would pick him up as soon as you can. He's going to perform it easily, one of the top week-to-week plays you can. I had to give a shout to Steen about that. Other than that, we'll go to yours if you have more forwards, and then I'll come back to my last one.
Sure, yeah, I got a bunch more forwards.
Yeah, it looks like
I got tons of guys. This one shocks me. This player is only owned in 11% of Yahoo leagues.
Yeah, that is.
And it's Radim Verbata from Arizona. He's got 2 goals, 3 assists in 5 games just recently here. And he is a point per game guy this year.
Yeah, literally.
I don't know why people aren't picking him up.
I mean, yeah, sure, he was abysmal in Vancouver last year, but anytime he has a Coyote jersey or any other jersey on, he's
like. Well, and he wasn't even bad in Vancouver.
Yeah. Well, yeah, actually, that's not true. He had the 30 goal season, you're right. And then there's just that last year that he was really unused or something. Yeah.
Owned in 11%. Verbata, I know we've talked about him briefly before, but he is an awesome guy to pick up. I picked him up because I had an injury right off the hop from the year, and he's been rewarding me.
Yeah, no, he plays big minutes in Arizona. Arizona's not a team that scores a lot of secondary scoring kind of thing. Like, I mean, they'll put him out there for probably 2 minutes on the power play, I imagine, like Ovechkin style.
70 shots already this year.
Okay, yeah, he's played. Yeah, that's actually shocking. I would have expected at least 50%. I don't know how deep these leagues are, but there's almost no excuse to not have Verbata at this point, especially at a point per game pace like he is. That's crazy. 11%. Wow.
Should I keep going with another one?
Like, how is he the same percentage as Gabrick? Like,
yeah.
Gabrick's just coming back, like, randomly, and then the Verbata's been performing all year, and he's 11%.
Top line. Yeah, it's nuts. Another guy that we have mentioned briefly before, these are both guys that I have. I have Verbata, and I also have Connor Sheary.
Yep.
He is only owned in 7% of Yahoo leagues. We didn't know what was going to happen in Pittsburgh, if he was going to stay the top line or if he was going to get juggled.
Right.
And Crosby always has new guys playing with him, and Kunitz is up there for a little bit, and yada, 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 yada. But Connor Sheary seems to be staying there, which is a sigh of relief for me. If he's with Crosby, he's going to get points.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, what did I have here? He's got points in his last 6 games. He's got 3 goals, 1 assist.
Nice.
So just kind of average minutes. But 12 points in 18 games this season.
That's not bad. Like,
owned in 7%.
7%, I mean, yeah. I don't have a lot of Yahoo experience, so I don't know how deep these teams are, but that seems crazy. I mean, he plays with Crosby. I mean, literally, what else do you need? He looked great with Crosby in the playoffs, obviously, so we figured that he would, you know, hopefully transition to regular season. So if it's 20, how many games is it? Like, only 20-ish games in, and he's still there, so I really doubt they're going to do some massive roster shuffling unless he just totally disappears. But yeah, sure, he'd be a great week-to-week play, especially if you own Crosby.
Yeah,
that's a lot. Yeah, that's easy points right there for sure.
That'd be a nice little back and forth. How many more forwards do you have left?
I just got one worth mentioning.
Okay, you hit up your four and I'll hit my last one.
Okay, my last one is my guy that I picked up, same kind of similar thing that Travis did. I picked up a guy called Josh Bailey, super unknown guy. He plays winger on the Islanders. He plays top line. He has 7 points in his last 6 games. He is so consistent. And, of course, he's owned in 5% of your guys' leagues, which is insane to me. So he's available out there. If you need a super consistent but low-point player, Bailey is your guy. I mean, he gets an assist every game. I mean, like, literally he does. It's like him and Tavares, and he gets the secondary or primary assist to a Tavares point. So, yeah, I'd be blown away. Unless you have some sort of mega performing. The only knock on Bailey is he's left wing only, I imagine. He doesn't play any center position at all, so I imagine most people have a lot better left wings. But if for some reason you trade a left wing away to get a position shored up or something like that, and you have like a really weird flex spot, Bailey needs to be picked up There's no excuse. I mean, he's going to stay similar to this all year. I mean, the team has not changed. It's still awful, and he's still getting point per game. So he's gonna do it. So
he's,
I promise,
top line.
Yeah, I promise. There's no scoring on the Islanders, and when it is, it's this line. It seriously is. It's the Tavares line, and Bailey's been on it since the beginning of the year. He's the only player that's like is attached to the hip with him.
Well, except for the Ladd experiment.
Yeah,
but Ladd experiment is done.
Oh yeah, I washed my hands, Pontius Pilate of Ladd. Like I said, he's done. I'm surprised he's even on the second line now. So good for Ladd moving up the depth chart on his own, on an awful team. I don't know what that says about Ladd. But nonetheless, if you need a left winger, honestly, Josh Bailey, you'll look like a genius. He's going to get you assists all the time.
Yeah, my
5% owned. What can you do? He's out there.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah.
Last guy I want to talk about, this one is just for our buddy James that keeps on telling us to go deeper. He keeps on sending us tweets and stuff and saying that these guys are already picked up you're talking about. So here, I got one for you. Christopher Stieg.
There you go.
From the Flames. He's owned in 3% of leagues. So you can't tell me he's already picked up. I can't see it happening. He was playing with Monahan and Brower while Goudreau was out.
Right.
He's going to be playing left wing on the second...
Right wing.
He plays both. Let me look it up.
Okay.
You talk about Flames and I'll look it up.
Well, because we just looked at it and I think he played on the right wing.
Sorry, right wing with Monahan and Goudreau as it sits right now.
Yeah.
The first line is going to be Tkachuk, Backlund, and Frolik.
For now, yeah.
And that very well could all flip up.
Oh, yeah. I imagine it'll be like a literally complete swap. Like, yeah. I imagine, obviously, Monahan and Goudreau will come back to first line and then they'll keep Backlund where he belongs as a second line center, my goodness.
And I still think Versteeg will play with Monahan and
Goudreau. No, Versteeg is like, he's actually a good player. I mean, I every year someone, or me, or who, anyone, Flames whoever picks him up in the league, because like, it's just as Versteeg. It's like this guy who has like so many Stanley Cups for some reason, because like he's on like Chicago at the right time, or he's on all these teams at the right time. But he's great, and it seems like he's fitting in with those skilled players like Goudreau and stuff, and so I imagine his point totals are only going to spike once Goudreau's back, so...
Well, he hasn't even played with Goudreau yet.
Yeah,
but... So playing with Monahan, he was 2-2.
Yeah, and Monahan's ice cold and garbage, and you got Goudreau, so... I think there's one that's 3%. There you go. I wouldn't be surprised if that doubles to 6.
There we go. I think
end of the week.
Versteeg is what that top line in Calgary needs. They need someone to calm them down.
Yeah, I mean, Versteeg's, for sure, he's a vet.
That's what they need there. All right, let's move on to some defense. You got some defense lined up?
I got one or two. The main one is Sekera. I know we were talking about Klefbom last week. It seems to be like a revolving point door in Edmonton. Sekera's been the hot hand there. He's got 4 in 3 games. He plays the majority of the minutes. I think he had 24 to 25 minutes I was averaging over the past 4 or 5 games. Sekera is a power play defenseman. Yes. I'm not sure if he's getting directly the first unit, but back when he used to play on Carolina and all these other teams before, that's what he was known for. He was a power play specialist. I remember LA brought him in for 1 year, just literally for that reason, because they had terrible, terrible power play defensemen.
Number one unit
yeah. now? Okay, yeah. Then there's no excuse. This guy needs to be owned. I mean, look at that power play. It's McDavid, Draisaitl, who's on fire. Lucic, who's been doing great. Letestu, I will disagree with. We'll see. But I think Letestu scored last game, so whatever, I'll give him the nod there. But the points speak for themselves. If he's on the top line power play playing 25 minutes a game with McDavid, all he has to do is pass it to the guy. He's going to get a secondary assist. I wouldn't be surprised if Sekera ends up being one of these stealthy top 20, top 30 fantasy defensemen at the end of the year, if this is how it stays. Again, you got to keep an eye on it, but I would be blown away. He has to be used on that first unit. Like, literally, it's the whole point of the guy. He's not a great defenseman. He's not a shutdown. He's not a Weber. He's not... Like, you bring this guy in for one reason, to move the puck, to make that one big pass out of your zone. Like, that's the point of this guy. So, hopefully he's got it together, it looks like, with these points. And I would... Sekera's gone in our league.
He was a guy that I was subbing in and out for matchups the first little bit to see what they were doing with him.
Yeah, I think eventually he might be... He might still be in subbed. I'd have to take a look. But, if you're in a Yahoo League or any other league that needs a defenseman, this guy's trending massively up, and I promise, like, he's a power play specialist. They got to figure it out. He'll get these points. Awesome. awesome player. Yeah, I'm well. Okay, awesome isn't whatever. He's really good at what he does, and hopefully they'll use him in that way. So we'll see how it goes.
And everyone wants a piece of that Oiler magic.
I have no Oilers. It is so tragic to see them score five goals, and I'm scrolling through 4-point McDavid games and 3-point Lucic games, and I'm like, yeah, I got none of this. Like, I don't have a single. I mean, you had Nugent Hopkins, which is kind of wah wah.
Yeah, yeah, he's gone now. Yeah, he wasn't doing anything for me.
So, but yeah, they're. Them and Columbus, I mean, the Rangers, they're all hot teams scoring goals, so get a piece of it if you can.
Speaking of a team that's scoring lots of goals, the number one pickup in Yahoo Leagues right now is Ian Cole.
Yeah, I was surprised when you told me that, and I saw the ads, and it was like some staggering amount, like 1,700 ads or something.
He's got 4 points in three games. They're doing some weird stuff in the Pittsburgh defensive core right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
They have Dumoulin and Daly as their second unit, and I mean, they have Schultz in there too. And they're kind of doing the Colorado thing where they're giving everyone 17 minutes.
Yeah, and then just give Letang the monster burn style minutes, yeah.
They're looking for someone to step up there. And Ian Cole did really well the last couple games.
Yeah, I even looked just to make sure. A lot of them are primary assists, which is actually, you know, the thing you want to be looking for in people that are giving you assists. Secondary assists are usually just fluky out of the zone stuff. So he's making some Dishmaster plays, which would allude that he's jumping into the play. I think he assisted on a Kessel goal, so I assume he would jump into the play past the Kessel, Kessel scored kind of thing. Or maybe these are tip-in goals. But nonetheless, primary assists are good things to look at. And yeah, there's a... I mean, it's not a sneaky pick, I guess, because everyone's adding him. But I doubt he's owned in too many leagues. And Pittsburgh, you can't go wrong with any Pittsburgh player, literally.
Yeah.
Like... It's like face roll. Just type in Pittsburgh and then whatever player is available, put him in. Like,
chances are. Bonino.
Yeah, seriously. Chances are they're going to get a point. Like, it's ridiculous.
Speaking of a guy that's hot right now, I'll just jump to my next defense. Ian Provorov. We have talked about him in the past.
Right.
He's playing low. He's playing third pair in Philly right now. He got 2 goals last game, but he was goalless for, I think, a month and a half.
Yeah, he got his first NHL goal last month sometime. But that's mean he didn't have a goal for like 23 games or something like that. So to get 2 in a game is kind of insane for a defenseman. If he only got 1 more, he would have joined Mike Green in the illustrious 2016 defense hat trick category. Kind of bummed he didn't do it. I would really love that stat right now.
Here's the thing with Philly.
It's just Philly. Yeah. Ugh.
They're Philly D. They got straight. And Delzato playing on the top pair. Delzato is another name that I wanted to mention to people because he's not owned in a lot of leagues and he isn't going to be he is the number one pair in Philadelphia right now.
Yeah.
The second pair is Manning and Gostabear.
Yeah.
Ghost Bear. So Provorov is third pair and he could be taking Manning's position, is what they're saying. Provorov is already on the second power play unit.
Yeah, he's getting power play time, yeah.
So they're doing another reshuffling thing, but look for Delzato and Provorov to move up a little bit when he's playing with Ghost Bear.
Yeah, Delzato had a really awesome showing when he first got traded to Philly,
yep.
I think 2 years ago. I'd have to check that. But he was actually outstanding. He actually had quite the point streak. This was 2 years ago. Because I remember last year it was all about Ghost Bear. Then the year before it was all about Delzato coming in. So yeah, they like these puck-moving defensemen in Philly. Philly is a... can be and should be and will be a high-scoring team. They'll get their stuff together. If you're in a PIM league, hey, chances are Simmons will fight someone in Delzato. We'll get a roughing penalty here and there. So always something to look at there. But yeah, check his minutes, see what his role he's getting. And I would not be totally against Delzato because I literally owned the guy 2 years ago when he came back. And he actually did quite well for me fantasy-wise. So he's definitely someone to check out with. And I'd be blown away if he beats that. What is it? Verbata, 11% owned. I'd be blown away if he's even higher than 5%.
Oh, Delzato is not owned by.
I would say sub 1%, I would imagine, at this point.
Opportunity, man.
Yeah, hey, that's what you got to look for, is opportunity.
We always say it.
Yeah, I didn't really have any other defensemen. I had some slumping guys, and that was really about it.
Do you got any goalies on there? Do you want to jump to goalies or go into some slumpers?
I only have one goalie, so. The goalie we were looking at was Bernier. And for some reason, Bernier was trending up on Yahoo. So we looked into it a little bit, couldn't really find too much information, but it's for our best guess, me personally, is what you guessed as well, is that maybe some controversy, maybe there's a bunch of back-to-backs coming up. But yeah, I don't really have too much information on that. I just noticed it was being very extremely added, so keep an eye on that. If we get more information, maybe we'll give you something next week or see what's going on with that. But as it is right now, he seems to be a very hot pickup. I'd have to take a look. He's 4-1 with Anaheim, which is obviously fantastic backup stats. I think Gibson is literally 8-8 last time I checked. I think he was a complete win to loss. Yeah, I think he's 8-8, to be honest. So I would imagine they're going to start throwing some more starts Bernie his way, and maybe that's what's going on here. So if you have that third goalie spot open or something like that, pick him up because he might chisel some starts. And the Ducks, they're... I don't like the Ducks. I don't... Whatever, you know, like, yeah, I know that. But they play good hockey, and they play defensive hockey, so... It's pretty easy to get wins when you play in front of these big West teams. So,
it's tough to gauge what exactly is going on there because his 4-1 starts are against weaker teams.
Oh, for sure, which is what you do with your backup, right? Yeah.
So he's winning. Sure, he has a good save percentage and he's winning some games, but he's not playing against the Chicago's or LA's and stuff like that, like Gibson is. But keep an eye on it. Maybe they're going to start subbing him a little more of a 70-30 split.
Yeah. Or if any of you guys out there know what's going on, hey, send us a message. That'd be fantastic. Bernier is not owned in our fantasy league, so hey, I'll take any advice I can get. I'm in fifth place right now, so
yeah, we don't know at all.
Yeah, so I mean, your team's on fire. I think you're moving up pretty quickly, but my team is pretty ice cold, so I'll take anything I can get. So if you got some Bernier hot seat advice, I would love to hear it because we looked into it and we can't find anything. But for some reason, that dude is just flying off the shelves in Yahoo more than Verbata, so he's got to be doing something right.
Yeah, and as far as goaltenders go, we already mentioned Scott Darling.
Right, yeah.
Just keep keep an eye on what Crawford's doing there.
Yeah.
I'd also like to mention Carey Lehtinen, Stars, coming off a shutout.
Rare shutout, I would imagine. Another... It was against Colorado, though, so, I mean, I can only give, like, a half applause because Colorado is just awful. But
another opportunity for someone to step up and take the job in Dallas.
Dallas is so weird, man. Yeah, I can't project anything on Carey Lehtinen, unfortunately.
They always say they're going to ride the hot hand, and then it's like, you're hot for 1 week.
But that thing is like, yeah, they get hot for one game.
Yeah.
And then they get shelled for five the next time. Like, I swear, it happens every time. It's like, oh, yeah, Niemi's been so great. And then he gets, like, four in the first, and you're like, wow. It's like, I'm really glad I picked up Niemi. It's like, come on.
What about Fleury or Bishop going to the Stars?
Is that what their people are saying? Is this some potential hype?
They're saying that it's just a rumor.
Well, they have to go somewhere. Yeah. Teams that need goaltending, obviously, and then are playoff teams. So
they were saying that Stars and Philly are both just going to let their goalies leave.
Yeah, I imagine Philly
trading or whatever.
Yeah, happens. Philly has to for sure. They have two UFA goaltenders, so there's no excuse there. I don't know if they can acquire the rights before the expansion can post. I would have to check into that. But
what if one of those goalies went to the Stars? They would be... What if Fleury went to the Stars?
That'd be fantastic. That is literally the problem with the Stars. Like, it is literally... Stars have sort of no depth issues outside of the top six forwards. Their defense is kind of whatever. But when you think of the Stars, you think of them getting shelled 5-0 every time.
Yeah.
Because neither Niemi or Lehtinen can ever keep it going. So that would actually be a team you don't want to really run into in the playoffs if they got a goalie. Especially if they got Bishop. My goodness, this team could actually move up probably a complete tier from like that tier two to like tier one team almost.
That would be interesting.
That would be very interesting. I have no idea, but they need a goalie. And there's no excuse. Bishop can't be owned any longer and Fleury can't be owned any longer. We're approaching the halfway mark of the season here in about a month. So there's going to be some movement. And I really hope that some of these guys pull the trigger on goaltending, my goodness. Because if not, the Stars are never going to win a cup without that goaltending combination.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. Okay, you got some guys that you were looking at that were falling that you want to make note of?
Yeah, I just found like a really weird slump was JT Miller.
Yep.
For some reason, JT Miller is just ice cold right now. I didn't realize that he was that bad because I own Hayes and I own Grabner, and they've also been very consistent for me. JT Miller, he's a right winger. Now he's on the third line with, whoa, those are names you don't want to be playing with. Josh Juris, ex-Flame, Matt Piumple, I think he was a waiver claim from Ottawa. This is not a scoring line, my goodness. I don't know if does he even get power play time anymore?
No power play time, no.
Okay, cut him.
Yeah.
What can you do? I promise you he's not getting points with Piumple and Juris, I promise. And if he's not even getting a hint of power play time, then I would cut this guy completely. That's tragic. He was on fire. He was a great looking player. I have no idea why he's been demoted, but I did check his game logs, and he hasn't got a lot of points in very few while. So this is a player that I would have no problem dropping. I mean, you can't keep a player that's on the third line in any fantasy league.
No.
Unless you're in some mega deep league, even our deep league, I think I can't even think of a third line player that's owned in our league.
Not unless he's a power play specialist or something.
Yeah, like not that. Unless he got sent there for some reason. Like, there's no way you draft a guy and hang on to a guy that's on the third line. It makes no sense.
No, maybe, I can't think of anyone.
As a maybe Boone Jenner's third line, I'd have to look at Columbus. I know that I just hyped him up. I'd have to look at Columbus now because that's the only team I could think of that would score from the third line.
But if it's not one of those teams.
Yeah, let's see. What has Columbus got? Calvert, Carlson.
Jenner's second line.
Oh, Jenner's second line. Thank goodness. Ardis. Oh, that's a Josh Anderson guy. Yeah. He's all right. There you go. Sam Gagner, power play specialist, fourth line, but he plays first line power play. There's the only player I think has owned in our league, actually.
Yeah, that could be true.
That's actually disgusting.
Do you have any other followers? I don't have any followers this week.
No, I couldn't really. I don't know. Everyone that's been quiet has just stayed quiet. I really didn't notice. Like, the only one was that JT Miller because, like, he was doing really well. And obviously, we ever talked about him already, but I couldn't see anyone. I was even going through my own team to see if I could find any specific slumping, and I couldn't really find anything. And I don't know about you. Your team's on fire, so there's no real slumping right now. And
we're kind of in a weird spot where you're not going to cut players without due reason, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, you need to have these 10 games. That's why I asked that question at the top about how long we're waiting for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no one in the last week that's done nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone's chipping in a little bit here and there, so I don't have any.
Yeah, I mean, even my
cuts or anything like that.
Even my worst player, I think it was like Broussard, but he plays 20 minutes a game, power play. He got his fourth goal of the year, like whatever. But again, you can't cut these guys because you know what they can do, and they play and they get the minutes like that. So, yeah, I couldn't find any real super cut trend guys to really get rid of. So
we're starting to cruise.
Yeah, it's basically cruise control. Try to set your lineup and just ride the wave, see what you can do.
That's what we're doing. All right, that's all for our content. We're going to get into the kudos. You got one more?
No, I'm good. I'm tapped out.
All right, I'm going to get into the kudos.
Sure, what do we got?
It's coming into the Christmas season.
Yeah, it's December.
It's December
Your
now.
Tree's up. I saw the tree upstairs.
Yep.
Looks good.
Yep, tree's up. We're getting in the Christmas spirit. You're starting to hear more caroling. This is a time of glad tidings and joy.
Yeah,
here
sure.
is my fantasy advice that everyone, right after they have their Christmas meal, they go out and they make a trade. You go talk to the other managers. You're so happy with the Christmas season that you are going to make a trade. It doesn't have to be overwhelmingly in your favor.
No, Christmas,
but just share the love.
Just give. Just give.
Yeah.
Just give. If you're in first place, I mean, just give.
Make some trades. If someone, if someone's a Washington fan, maybe trade them your Washington player for equal value.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a Christmas season. That's all I'm saying.
Just make some
fun trades.
It
makes
good.
Every league better. The more trades you're making.
It's true. I've made a colossal amount of trades. They've all been awful. I'm not going to get into them. But it's fun, though.
Trades, it's fun being active.
It's sweet being active. It is.
So get in the Christmas spirit and the trade spirit.
Yeah, there you go. Give the gift that keeps giving, I guess.
A fantasy player.
A fantasy consistent player.
Ariel, who do you got for your kudos this
goalie.
Week?
My kudos is a long overdue one. I'm not sure how many guys pay attention to the music that precedes and follows our podcast.
I do.
I do. You do. There's actually a friend of mine. His name is Jeff. He does music in, I think he lives in San Francisco or something like that. He lives in California. He's an awesome EDM kind of mixed music guy. His name for himself is Silent Envision. However, the band that he does the music with is called Lightlines. If you like the music that we had at all, and it's slightly whatever your style, definitely check him out on Lightlines on SoundCloud, I think is the easiest way to find him.
Yep.
And a lot of the stuff's up for free download. Hey, shoot him a comment, say that, you know, we brought you here or something like that. I'm sure he would get a huge kick out of it. That's my kudos for that. I'm sorry, Jeff, I didn't get to tell you for the past 16 weeks or however long.
I know, we've been slacking.
We've been doing this, but he did the music for, not for us, as we just sampled one of his songs. And so If that sounded like something you were interested in, then definitely check them out on SoundCloud. And again, that is Light Lines, and it's like one word. So, yeah, if you enjoy it, I enjoy it. I think it's good chill music. It's good study music. If you're out there doing some tests and stuff, I would check them out.
Yeah, he has a lot of good stuff on there, some upbeat stuff, some relaxing stuff.
Yeah, it does, whole range. Does some remixes and stuff, so.
Yeah, it's very cool stuff. You guys want to get in touch with us, you know where to do it, at Fantasy NHL Talk on Facebook and Twitter. Hit us up. I wish I could play some, like, outro Christmas song, but I'm not going to. We got some Light Envision.
Light Lines.
Light Lines!
Yeah, we got to get a Christmas remix. I'll have to get them in there. We got, what is it, 3 weeks till Christmas now?
Yep. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We will talk to you next week.